world that we live in has gone crazy. I don't think that's far-fetched. I think even in the news last night, you could see how even, you plan a sermon, you have it all ready, and it talks about how the world's crazy, and then you turn on the news or get updates on your phone, and it's gone even more crazy. You know, the bombings and the fightings, and it just ramps up all the time. And then it's the big news for a day, and then it just kind of goes away. And then a few days later, there's another one. But the world is corrupt, and the world is evil. And there are some days it feels like we're getting closer and closer to hell on earth. I mean, it feels like at times that just everything has just gone crazy. But that really shouldn't be too big a surprise to us. Really. As we look out at the world and we see what's happening, sometimes we act like we're shocked. But why? Why are we shocked? Number one, we know the world is evil and we've kind of seen this coming. We've been talking about it for years, haven't we? Boy, down the road, this is going to, and we've seen this coming, but we've also known it was going to happen because God said so. God told us that this was going to happen. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, this is what Jesus said. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now you might say, well, what was it like in Noah's day? Right? So he says it's going to be just like in Noah's day. The world's going to be like that. Everybody's just going to be doing whatever they want. And boom, the ark door shuts. Jesus comes back. It's too late. So we go back and we say, well, what was it really like in Noah's day? Jesus brought that up for a reason. Jesus didn't just mention just like in the days of Noah and leave that in passing. If he says just like the days of Noah, he means literally he was there, right? Jesus has always been there. So if he points back to a time, he meant that. If I knew somebody who was around during World War II or had lived, right, had lived over in Germany or something, and they said, man, this is just like, right, this is just like the camps, this is just like that, I would listen to that person and I would say, well, they really know what they're talking about. This is not just conjecture. This is just not them saying how bad this is. So when Jesus says it's going to be like the days of Noah, well, what does that mean? Well, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, this is what it says it was like in the days of Noah. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Listen to how he puts this, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let me read that again. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds fairly familiar in the world that I live in. That people, we can't just say, oh, they're up to no good. No, it's evil. The things that I'm seeing happen in this world are pure evil. It's not just, oh, that was a bad decision, or, well, that seems a little weird. No, it's like, that's demonic. That's so evil. But what you'll notice is, the world is doing things that are extremely evil, but they can't see how evil it is. If you were to mention to them that that's evil, they're blown away. When you say, I can't believe that you think that way, you're the crazy one, right? When you say that's evil, that's satanic, that's demonic, I can't believe that you would say that. They'll go, why? Everybody does that. The whole world thinks that. You're the crazy one. So now we're being told that we're the loons, right? That we're the ones that have a crazy outlook. And don't you think that's what they said to Noah? Right? He starts building an ark. Like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, I'm building a big boat. A boat? First of all, what's a boat? Second of all, why? Right? He goes, well, God says it's going to rain. Okay, what's rain? Right? They don't, I mean, everything was just, they're just having fun. They're doing whatever they want to do. And Noah says, God says he's fed up. He says, there's a day coming where, man, he's just done. And we've been trying to say this. We've been trying to tell people, hey, I'm telling you, God's getting really fed up with this. And we're supposed to be the crazy ones. But here's what I want you to understand. I hope that when you watch the news or you're around people much or you're in society, that you have a feeling of not fitting in. I really do. Because if you are comfortable with everything the world is doing and saying, that's a whole new problem in and of itself. Because I've been around people who are supposed to be Christian people, who are supposed to be churched, who are supposed to be, you know, Christian like I am. And I've brought up things that really bother me. And they'll say, well, what's the big deal with that? And instantly you just go, oh. And you want to say, why doesn't that bother you? Well, you know, everybody can do whatever they want to do. And you're right. People can do whatever they want to do. But it doesn't mean that I can't see the repercussions of what they're doing. It doesn't mean that I don't want what they're doing to affect me. It doesn't mean that I can't see that the decisions the world is making are going to affect my kids and their kids and future generations. It doesn't mean that we just blindly say, oh, okay, sirrah, sirrah, everybody just... That's crazy. But if you're comfortable, if you like the direction the world's going, if you see the things that are happening and you're okay with that, then we need to reassess. We need to read our Bible more. We need to start looking at these things and saying, hey, wait a minute. God said things were going to get worse and worse and worse. And if things are getting worse and I'm comfortable, where does that leave me? But if we can sit here today and say, I do have that feeling of not fitting in. I do have that feeling of, what am I supposed to do? Where do I fit in? Because I don't like this. I don't like the way things are happening. Well, I want you to first know that that's great. I'm glad you feel that way. You shouldn't feel left out. You're in a place that's perfect for you. You're in a place where most of us don't fit in with the world. And there's a reason for that. The Bible makes it clear in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says this. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, there's what sets us apart. I want to do the things God wants us to do, but the whole world is under the sway of the devil. And most of the time, if you're under the sway of someone, you don't know it. How many of us have talked to one half of a couple, right? And they didn't realize what the other one was doing to them. Right? How many of us have had that conversation? Do you realize, like, you don't talk to us anymore? Like, ever since you've been with them, you have no friends and you don't go out and you don't, right? Well, no, it's just that he loves me. No, it's that he controls you and you're in a cage now. I don't know. But because of the way it's said, because of the way it's framed, it's not what you think it is. Okay, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not what we all can see. It's what you think it is. And so many times the world, they're just having fun. They're just having fun. What's the big deal? Love is love and fun is fun and we're just doing what we've always done. And one of these days it'll be fine, or it's just a phase. That's another one. There's always some way to explain that it's not wrong, it's just, that's the sway, right? That's where the devil gets you and you don't realize it till later, right? But you've dug your hole so deep that you don't know how to get out of it. And so the world is under the sway of the devil. We must make sure that we are not. We must feel uncomfortable, but we're supposed to be different. The world is evil. It's full of wickedness. We know that. So we should feel different. I know that because 1 Peter chapter 2 and 11, he actually calls Christians strangers and pilgrims, right? Kind of like that idea of we're just passing through, I'm not from here, right? You send me to a foreign country, I can't read the menu, I can't communicate, I don't know what's going on here, everything looks funny, smells funny, tastes, this place is weird to me, right? So they want us as Christians to think, well, this isn't my place, right? I'm not going to be able to change everything around me. It's not mine. I don't own it. I can't control what's going on here, but I also don't have to assimilate and fit in. Philippians 3:20, Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, knowing all that, I think we can look around, and I think it's safe to say that the church, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about just our church, but the church. I think it's very safe to say that the church worldwide doesn't actually do a very good job of setting ourselves apart from the world. When we look at the Bible and the Bible says the world is evil, we are not citizens of all this, we are strangers, we are pilgrims. Well, are we? Are we really? Now, I've said this before, I certainly don't believe in every way that they do, and I don't want to live like they do, but the Amish sure set themselves apart. I don't know about you, but their food's good, right? That butter they churn tastes awful good, right? Now, I don't want to live like that, and I really don't. It's nice to visit. It's kind of fun, right? And Joe's got lots of friends that are Amish, and it's a neat place to go. Some of you like to go into Amish country and shop, and they got some of the best apple butter, and it's kind of neat. You see it, drive you crazy if you're driving behind it, but you look at that and you say, you know what? They do get some of that right. Yeah. There are some things there that you go, I mean, you can't completely fault them for saying, I don't want anything to do with that. Isn't there some areas where, as Christians, we should go, I don't want anything to do with that? And I look at what they're doing, and I'm not going to go through all the beliefs of Amish and where I disagree, and if there's corruption in every organization, there's people who are bad, there are people who are good. I know all those things. But I can tell you there are some massive areas about them that I want to go, you know what? Better safe than sorry. I mean, there's lots of ways that I can't look at them and say, that's wrong. Right? Nah, it's just weird. It's just weird to me. I wouldn't want to do that. But I can't. They don't want electricity. Can I say, well, that's wrong? I can't say it's wrong. I would just say, I like it. I like having electricity. But because they don't want it, can I say that's wrong? Absolutely not. But there's lots of things in the world that I don't want, but the reason I don't want it is because it's wrong. You shouldn't have it. You shouldn't be a part of those things. Do you understand? So there are some things that I can look at and say, boy, they do separate themselves pretty well. I want you to, okay, picture this with me. Picture your house butts up against the city-wide dump bonfire, right? So picture the biggest bonfire you can picture. I don't mean like you made a little fire in the backyard. I mean giant bonfire, right? The kind that you can hear popping and crackling and it's just, you can feel the heat from a giant ways away. Some of you who've lived outside of town or to farm, you've made these before, right? You pile stuff up, and I'm talking big. Now picture it's in your backyard, the same place your kids play. All right? So now, you not only have a giant fire, but it's the only place that your children can play. Right? The people next to you, the city or whatever it is, they have this giant fire, but it's right by your backyard, and that's the only spot your kids play. Now, if your kids are going to be anywhere near this, in the same vicinity, you're going to have a conversation with them. If you had a giant bonfire at the end of your block, you would have a giant conversation with your children, right? You're going to say, listen, there's a giant fire. Stay away from it, right? Don't go near it. Don't throw stuff at it. Don't even look at it. Just act like it's not there. If you can feel it, you're too close, right? Now, if you have kids like mine, you're going to have your first child, the daughter, spending all of her time trying to keep her brother who from trying to jump over it, around it, throw things at it, right? You see, there are certain ones of us, as parents, we would spend the whole day going outside and saying, hey, did you not hear what I said? What is wrong with you? Get away from the fire. Right? No, don't stop throwing. Just get in the house. Right? The whole day. You would worry the whole day. Right? Now, you would have some kids that you could open the door and you say, now play outside, just stay away from the fire. Wouldn't have to give it a second thought. They wouldn't even go on that side of the yard. They're afraid of the fire. They don't want anything to do with it. But some of us play next to the flames all the time. All the time. And what I don't understand, and I think one of the troubles we have for sure. And I can't really answer because sometimes I have the same problems, but why? Why do we as Christians always see how close we can get to the flame? Why? Are we supposed to be seeing how close we can get or how far away we can get? Do you understand? If you took a group of kids, you know how many people have fallen into the Grand Canyon? So many. People fall into the Garden of the Gods all the time, right? There's a way not to do that. Get back. It's like, hey, scoot back. But we don't want to. We all, I can see better. You can also die, right? But we all want to see how close to the edge we can get. It's never enough to say, yeah, that's not a good idea. Now, I've gotten in trouble by tons of people because my kids were little, super overprotective. There were all kinds of things, like, I really don't want my kids doing that. They'd ask to do stuff, nah. And Heather would be like, oh, it's going to be fine. My thing was always, yeah, but what if? Right? And I overdid it at times, right? But I always foresaw, yeah, but if this happened, but what if this happened? And as Christians, why don't we do that more? Why don't we ever say, you know what? I know I could get closer, but why? You know why you would want your kids to stay away from the flames? Because you know what happens if they get in the flames. And you also know the closer you get to the flames, the more danger you're in. And you also know sometimes things come out of the flames, right? And so there's going to be all kinds of times you're going to look at them and you're going to say, just don't go over there. And we tell our kids that at school. Hey, now when you go to school, there's going to be some kids that do some things and say some things and go some places and do all kinds of things. Now, you don't have to be like everybody else. I want you to know that. You're your own person. Be strong. Do what God wants you to do. We tell the kids that all the time. What are we doing? Are we not dancing around the flames? Are we not seeing how churches are doing it? We're trying to see how much like the world we can be so that the world will like us. The whole entire Bible, front to back, constantly keeps telling us the world is full of evil. Like, you've got to be careful. But yet now, we who are supposed to be representing God to man is now trying to be more like the world to attract them. People, we've got it backwards. They're supposed to be attracted to us because we're different. They're supposed to see the church and go, that's different. What is that? Why do they do that? And then you have a reason to tell them, well, the reason we do that is we don't feel it's good. We don't want to be next to the flame. We don't want to get burned. We don't want to. And you explain that to them, and it's up to them. Everybody has a choice. But we're supposed to be different. Let me give you a group of verses here that should shape the way you look at the world. John 15:19 says, Jesus speaking, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So, here, those of us who continue to want to fight with the government and fight with people and make Christianity accepted by everybody and make sure that it's never going to happen. It's biblical. They don't like us. There's a reason for that. And there's a reason they fight against Christianity and they don't fight against other religions, because Christianity is the one that's making a difference. Christianity is the one that scares them. Christianity is the one that stands for what's actually right. You can say anything you want about most religions and most anything, you can't say anything about other religions, but you can say anything you want about Christianity. I mean, anything. Write comics, skits, whatever it is, but you don't dare do that about other beliefs. Why? Because they're afraid. Because they know the truth. So does the world hate us, or does the world see you as one of them? I think that matters. James 4:4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And then the verse that changed my entire life. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That's the verse that when I was in college, that I wanted to do what I want. And even though the things that I wanted to do in my eyes were good, there's no verses about it in the Bible. There's no one that would say your life trajectory is terrible, right? That's not the point. You can be choosing things that in and of themselves are good, but as long as they're contrary to what God wants from you, they're of the world. Because the devil will use things that sound good. As long as it distracts you from God, he doesn't care what it is. Right? As long as it distracts you from doing what God wants you to do, fine with it. And as crazy as it seems, we go on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning, and it was so nice because this morning, one of the ladies, her son was there, and she was explaining to him that our church is there every Sunday, and we love having church every Sunday. And to listen to her explain that was really sweet. And I still don't like going to the nursing home. It's a nursing home, right? It'd be really easy for the devil to convince me, you know, there's lots of stuff you could do in the morning instead of getting up and going to the nursing home and then going to church. You could spend a little more time in prayer or prepping for your sermon or doing something. Just tell them you can't do that anymore and they'll need to find somebody else. Now, do you understand how extra prayer time or sermon prep or whatever it is, who's going to say that that's bad? But it would be. Do you understand? The devil could even use something like that if it takes me away from what I know God told me to do. And he would do it. Because as long as it takes me away from what I know I'm supposed to be doing, and it gets me doing something else, he loves it. Because that's still disobedience. Right? And I can make the excuse, yeah, but God, I'm doing this other thing for you. And he can say, I didn't ask you to do that. I told you what I wanted you to do. And so what I'm saying to you now is, not only do we cross the line sometimes and dance in the flames, sometimes it's things that we think are good that we're still not getting closer to God. We're trying to find that middle place in the yard, right? I kind of want to be able to see the fire, right? I can't really feel it from here, but it's kind of cool to watch, right? Instead of saying, go over there where Jesus is. And so I want you to know today that we are called to be like Christ. So much so that before his crucifixion, Jesus went to the garden to pray. And when he was praying in John chapter 17, 14 through 16, he said this, I've given them your word, talking about his disciples, I've given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So this is where we live. We don't have a choice in that, right? This is the world we live in. Jesus understands, and I think that's important that you know that. Jesus understands you. He knows you live in a corrupt and evil world. So much so that when he prayed for the disciples, he feels that same way about you. God, these are my kids. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I just want you to protect them, to watch over them, to give us help. And I think I know I'm a perfect example, and you're an example, that the world will overwhelm you. The world will crash over you like a wave and drown you in evil. It will corrupt you. It will give you ideas that are crazy. It will get you doing things. It will hook you. It will addict you. It will do all kinds of things. And how many of us made one small bad choice that became 100 bad choices that became a bad life? I mean, it happens all the time. There's only one way to avoid that, and that is through Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4:4, and I love this, in 1 John 4:4, John wrote, you are of God, little children. And I like that thought. Let's stop there for a second. We're the little kids. We're not down in junior church talking to little kids. I'm looking at adults but I'm calling you little children. Me too. Because to God, we're his little kids, right? Still making mistakes, still trying to learn. And John looks at us and he says, hey guys, you are of God. And you've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So if I don't have him in me, if I don't have the Holy Spirit in me, I'm in big trouble, right? But if I go out there with him, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's like I told you last week. People were like, what's going to happen during the eclipse? Hey, man, I got Jesus, whatever. Right? Looked really cool, right? Looked amazing. But if all of a sudden meteors started shooting out of it and the world started to cave in, I'd be like, dude, I'm out of here. Sweet, right? No more news, no election. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. We don't have to deal with it anymore. We're out of here, right? You don't have to be terrified. You mean, because I know that the one that is in me has overcome all this. That's happening because he put it into place. So what am I afraid of? The reason you should be afraid, which I think we've all come to this point before, is when you're out lost in the world, everything's out of control, and you realize that you made those choices. Right? That's probably one of the hardest realizations to make in life. To realize that my life is like this because I chose it. And it really stinks. It really stinks to realize that. Makes you feel real dumb. It really does. To make you look around and go, you know what? This really has hinged upon a lot of bad decisions that I've made. But I can change that. Because you still have choices today. Am I going to face the evil in this world? We all know it's evil. I don't think there's anybody in here that looks at the world and think, I think it's great. I think we all know how evil the world is. So, do I go out there on my own? Right? And the world's going to encourage you to be involved in every bit of evil and debauchery that they can find. They'll pat you on the back. They'll welcome you with open arms. They love it. Right? And I'm not telling you you're not going to go out there and have some fun. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to have a good weekend or two. But I will tell you you'll live with pain and regret and unhappiness. And there will be things that will come into your life that you do not want. And we all know what that's like. So do I do that? Or do I decide that I'm going to allow Christ into my life and become the person that God created me to be? Those are the choices I have. Now, I had this sermon ready this week, and a song came on, and it's a secular song, and I don't think I'd heard it before, and a good singer, and it's got a great voice, and I'm listening to this, and because of what I knew I was preaching this week, when he said a certain line, it just stuck in my head. In fact, I was at home, and I immediately walked into my office and wrote it down on a scrap piece of paper so I could share it today. But in the song, he says, I'm only one drink from the devil, and I'm only one call away from home. I'm only one drink from the devil, and I'm one call away from home. And I thought, man, I don't know if he realizes it or not, but that's a pretty good example of our spiritual life. And I like the fact that he realized that whichever one of those he chose, it's on him. I am one drink. I mean, you got to pick it up and you got to drink it. Or I'm one call. Which one? Right? I mean, that's a choice. I know I can do this. And if I do, I know what the repercussions of that is. Or I can do this. And I know what the repercussion of that is. One drink from the devil, I'm one call away from home. You can live however you want. I tell you that all the time. You can choose whatever you want to choose. You can take the drink, you can take the drug, you can party, you can live whatever life you want, you can choose whatever lifestyle you want, you can do whatever you want. God gave you a choice. But you will deal with the repercussions of those choices. You can live like the world, you can enjoy every pleasure the world has to offer. But I want you to know you were created for more than that. What I want you to know is that is not what you were created for. But you will choose. It is completely up to you. It's not about what makes you happy. That's a hard one to learn. It's not about what makes you feel good. It's not about what you think is best for you and your family. Life isn't about who has the most money. It's not about who has the biggest house, the best car, the fastest car. It's not about leaving buildings named after yourself. It's not about having monuments or statues built that look like you. Most of that stuff sounds good. Might be nice. But even in all that, you were made for more than that. You were made to be like Christ. You were made to stand out. You were made to be different. Now, I know us pastors like to think that we have certain ways to say things and we'll come up with something to convey things to people, but I came across something recently that it isn't mine, and I'm glad to tell you that, but I want to close by sharing it with you because I want you to understand why we are set aside from the world. And I want you to understand that you were created for more than that. And I really think in the next coming weeks, we'll talk more about setting ourselves apart from the world and how we do that. But there was a college student that was asked by a college student that asked a faculty member, ask a professor, basically, why am I even here? Right? And I think we get that feeling sometimes of, okay, I get it. The world's evil. Everything's bad. So what are we doing? Where do we fit in? Right? You're telling me, preacher, you keep telling me the world's evil, we're supposed to be different, and all those kind of things. Well, what are we even doing? So the faculty member wanted to answer this child and sat down, and this is what she wrote to them. God did not need the world or need people because God has no lack. Instead, God is so full of all that is good that it overflows and it spills out of him. His very nature is to share his goodness, to share his grace, to share his love. He created people out of love for the purpose of sharing love. People were created to love God and to love each other. Additionally, when God created people, he gave them good work to do so that they might experience God's goodness and reflect his image in the way that they care for the world and for each other. They were created without flaw or sin, and God intended that they would live this way eternally. And when God created people, he also gave them a free will so that they could freely share in his love. They were not robots who had no choice. Instead, God gave people the opportunity to either receive and live in his love or to reject him. Giving people free will dignified their choices and recognized the image of God that was within them. God did not want people to live in brokenness, to live in darkness, to live in separation. So, he set about making the broken world right so that people could be forgiven, so that people could be healed, so people could be restored and made whole. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, people can now live in a restored relationship with God, and they can love others with the love that God gives them. People can live an abundant life in the presence of Jesus and participate in God's mission of bringing healing, wholeness, and restoration to the world. I mean, she did a beautiful job of saying, you were made to participate in God's restoration of what he wants this world to be like. And in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus taught them to pray, he said, our Father, right, who art in heaven. And then he says, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. And so when we live, we are supposed to be trying to do our best to live the life that God wants this world to be like. Right? God created it perfectly, gave it to Adam and Eve. Man has just made a mess of things, right? Well, we're not supposed to just live in the mess. We're supposed to be cleaning it up, right? You ever gone in a teenager's bedroom? What's one of the first things you say? How do you live like this? right? That's one of the first things you say is you kick stuff out of the way. How do you even live like this? Do you think God doesn't look at us all the time and say, how do you live like that? What are you doing? Get back from the flame. You're going to get hurt. Jesus died so that you can be forgiven. Jesus was raised that you might live forever. We are made for more than what that world is offering us. The world is evil. You know it is. And so my call to you, and I think over the course of the next few weeks, God's call to us is to set ourselves apart, to be different from them. Show the world that they were made for more. When I say set apart, I don't mean shun them. I don't mean treat them badly. No, because that's what they would do. I mean love them. Love them. Share God's love with them, which would be really different in the world that we live in. To really love people. To hug people you may not even want to hug. Spend time with people that maybe not everybody would spend time with. Right? Set yourselves apart, not because of anything you are, but because of who is in you. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And so I encourage you to know where you fit in, right in the middle of God's plan. Would you stand with me this morning?